Hello, everyone, and welcome to the November 2015 episode of Whiskey and Wasted Words. It's being recorded in April 2017. I am Alex Snader here with my co-host, Christopher Smith, a.k.a. Jeriah Wood. Any other pseudonyms floating around out there?
Still Richard Junk for the Dirk McAwesome story that's out there. I have more written. I just got to put them out. But yeah, those are the two big ones.
So we're back after a long break because life. We both had been away, but now we're back. So first things first, Chris, what are you drinking tonight?
Tonight I'm drinking the finest cheap leftover eggnog I found in the fridge from Christmas. So hopefully it doesn't go bad after a few months.
But that sounds terrible.
If it should be terrible. Think of it as a little bit of self-flagellation just for the podcast, since it took us so long to get to the Thanksgiving episode of 2015.
Well, now I feel bad because I'm drinking a nice glass of Jameson on the rocks.
Well, you're just going to have to carry the podcast. Hey, if I disappear halfway through, you know why. But I am drinking it out of a shot glass that is boobs and butt of a lady, and it says New Orleans on it.
Butts.
It is the classiest shot glass I own. I didn't know I had it till moments ago.
Learn something new every day, including classy shot glasses hidden in our cabinets.
Oh, yeah. I've never even been to New Orleans. I don't know how we got it.
Maybe you found it in Old Orleans.
I don't think I've been. Oh, who knows what this eggnog's going to do to me, though. Maybe that's how the first half disappeared.
All right, so we've been, I think our first couple episodes, we had a random icebreaker question submitted to us on Twitter, and I just got another one because at Rachel Forgets is always good with a random question.
Excellent.
And hers would be, describe your podcast as an ice cream flavor.
Oh, boy. Cookies and disappointment, maybe? Okay.
That's good. I think I would call it sugar-free ice cream that you find in the back of your freezer, but it still tastes okay.
Unless you eat too much of it, then it gives you explosive diarrhea.
Exactly. So I think that would be. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. That sums it up.
Yeah. So moving on down the list here, my next topic on my vague sheet here is, where the F have you guys been? Chris, what have you been into?
Let's see. Since 2015, it has been a crazy few years for me. Most recently, my family and I sold our house and packed everything up, lived with the in-laws for a few months while we looked for a new place. And just in the last 2 months, purchased a house, and it's just been kind of the chaos of moving in and getting settled. So that's been a lot of stress. It's really nice to have that behind us now. That's moving just takes so much time and energy. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's something that I never want to do again. I've been in my house for like 7 years now, which is the longest I think I've ever lived in any one location. So I really never want to have to move.
We were in our last place for a little over 10 years, and it was on the market for a really long time and finally sold. And so we were glad to get that out from under us. But then for 4 months, we were homeless, and it was really good of our, my in-laws to let us stay with them. But it was a lot of people under one roof. Didn't have any major problems. We all get along. But there's something nice, and there's something that really reduces your stress levels when you have your own space. That's based at home. So how about you? What have you been doing?
I got a new job that I may or may not have had. No, I guess I didn't have it the last time we talked.
No, you did not.
And it is the first job I've ever had where I have come home at the end of the day mentally exhausted. I've been doing retail and food service forever. So, you know, coming home and being a little sore from being on your feet, that was one thing. But now this job, I actually have to think. And that really took a dent on the whole writing muscle, because the last thing I wanted to do was come home and think more.
Yeah. There's truth to that. I worked a really labor-intense job at one point in my life. And I remember, you know, I'd been working office jobs for years and I needed work, and this came up. And so I took it. And one of the nicest things about it was coming home at the end of a day physically exhausted, but not having to think about work. And it right. was just, it was tremendous. And there's, it's really hard to describe unless you've experienced it, but that mental fatigue is just so real.
Definitely. And so, I mean, I think that kind of is a decent segue into our actual topic for this particular podcast, is writing burnout, or having trouble writing for any reason, I guess. Do you think that specifically burnout from writing is a real thing?
It's a tough question, and I probably should have looked at this before we started recording.
No.
Is it real? I guess that's going to really focus on your perception. Is it possible to – I mean, is it writing burnout if you've spent all day behind a desk and you come home and you have an hour to write, but all you want to do is just close your eyes and just kind of slip into that semi-vegetative state, maybe put something on Netflix, not even anything that you've had on your I want to watch list for a long time, but something that you don't even really care about. You just want to feel like you're doing something while you shut your brain off. Is that writer's block? Is it writer's burnout? Or is it just dealing with life, or, you know, the way we have to navigate society and what we're built for? So is it real? Practically, yes. I don't know if I would say it's easy to necessarily qualify, like, you know, where the line is drawn for, am I just sick of writing? I know what I've been struggling with is, well, I've given too much thought, which is probably contributing to burnout. but it's a matter of, why am I not writing? And the fatigue is a lot of it sometimes. And fear is a big one. Fear is always a big one. And fear is insidious, because it'll sneak up on you. You don't realize it. You think, oh, I've got nothing to be afraid of. But then you really get down to brass tacks. And at least for me, I'll notice sometimes if I'm not paying attention, it'll be a fear of, I mean, tell me if this rings true, if you ever had this thought. I have a great idea for a story, but I'm afraid I'm going to screw it up.
Yeah, pretty much every story I've ever written.
Exactly. So it's, I mean, you can kind of let yourself get into a cycle of having all these great ideas for stories, but not really wanting to start them. So is it burnout or not wanting to finish them? That's my problem, is if I have, sometimes I'm writing a story and it's going well, and I end up not finishing it because I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to really land the ending. And I'd hate to have a story that had a great buildup but a crap ending.
I definitely have done that. The fifth book in my Burden series, I have probably 85% of the first draft sitting unfinished right now. It's been sitting for 6 months now, probably. And when I started the book, I started the book for this one scene at the climax that I was so excited about. I mean, I pretty much wrote the whole book just for an excuse to get to this one scene that I knew was just going to be epic. And I'm at that scene. Like, that is where I stopped writing, because I got to that scene and I was like, I'm going to screw this up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, there definitely is, you know, a fear in not doing it right. And, you know, not doing it justice, I guess. And, you know, another side of not writing is it's such a mental thing. And, you know, for me personally, you know, right about the time I started this job last year, that, you know, kind of took my focus away a little bit, I had three books published through two different publishers. Within a couple months, both of those publishers went out of business. And so all of my books that had ever been published and printed came out of print. And man, that screwed me up.
Well, it's demoralizing. And that would be another major, at least for me, that's something I've been struggling with, is the fact that, you know, we craft these stories. I mean, whether it's novel length, whether it's short story or a series of short stories, flash fiction, whatever, there's time and there's energy and there's passion that we put into these stories. And why do you write if it's not so that other people can read it and get that sense of passion that we have while we're writing it? You know, what's the point of writing a story if we're not excited about it? Obviously, sure, if it's, you know, you're writing for a spec for something, that's one thing. But if you're just sitting down to write something that you love, you want to impart that, your love of that story to the reader. So if no one's reading your stories, I find it incredibly disheartening. I can only imagine what it would be like to, you know, have three books out, published, ready for people to purchase them, whatever else, and then suddenly find out that, boom, they're gone and there's nothing you can do to get them back out there. And suddenly these things that you poured so much time and energy into were just unavailable for people to read and give you feedback on, and, you know, to tell you what they thought about it, what they liked, what they didn't like, what they got excited about versus, you know, what you were excited about, etc. I think that's a motivation killer.
Definitely. Yeah, it definitely brought about what I think is, you know, sounding like Mr., you know, knowledgeable writer here, but I think one of the most dangerous questions for any writer that I've ever encountered is, what does it matter? You know, because you can get into this, you know, my stuff fell out of print, or no one's reading your stuff. You know, maybe you put something on, you know, whatever, and shared it, and it only got two views, and you fall into this, well, what does it matter? Why do I do this?
Right.
And it just stops everything. I really think that when you get into that mindset, it's almost impossible to get away from.
Yeah. And at one point in my life, maybe I even believed this, that there are times where, as a writer, you write because you have to. You write because the story's in you and it needs to come out. But let's be honest, if that's the reason you're writing and that's the reason you're telling stories, you don't have to write down a single thing. You can sit back on your couch. Don't turn Netflix on. You can sit and tell stories in your head all evening, and it's way less work. You're still having fun crafting the stories, and no one gets to read it, but who cares? So, I mean, that's been a large part of my routine since I stopped writing as much. I'm not nearly as prolific as I had been early on when I started. And part of that is I've struggled with burnout is the fact that, you know, if no one's reading my stories, I can sit down and come up with all the good ideas and all the great characters and everything in my head, and just as many people are seeing them.
Right. And then you end up with this backlog of things that you're like, man, if I ever get back around to writing, I need to write these six great ideas that I just had that I.
Right. And then you make the time and you sit down and you're like, oh, crap, I got the mosquito and a nudist colony issue. I know what I need to do. I have no idea where to start.
Did you just come up with that analogy? Because that was amazing.
No, unfortunately. I've been saying that for years. I heard it somewhere, and I told you my metaphor game is weak. You've pretty much, that is my metaphor game, is that mosquito and a nudist colony thing.
That's a good one. So
it has to be. It's all I've got.
It works for every situation. Man, it's hot in this room. Well, it's like a mosquito and a nudist colony.
It's really hot because the sun is shining. Yep.
So do you, I guess, bringing it back more to the actual just writing too much, do you find that, like, if you sit down for a writing session and you're not on a time constriction, you know, the kids have gone to bed, you're wired, you've got all the time in the world, do you find that there's a certain amount that you're good for in one sitting? Like,
It is so rare for that situation that you just described to happen. I'm not kidding. I don't think that has happened in the last 2 years at least. But I get the gist of the question you're after. So if I sit down and I'm ready to write and I can get in the zone quickly, then I'm usually good for about 800 words in 45 minutes. If I get more time than that, if I get like a good 2 hour writing session, I'll usually get between 3,000 and 4,000 words. And I find that when I hit 4,000 words in a day or in one sitting, right, I am usually ready to go do something else. I've never had the opportunity to take a break and then go back to writing. I've never had that kind of time for writing. But so I don't know, you know, I see people talking about doing a 10K day. If a little bit of a break would be, you know, would actually rejuvenate me during the day, I'm sure I could hit 10K in 4 or 5 hours. You know, if I was a full-time writer with an 8-hour workday, I could see me doing a couple, you know, aiming for, say, 3 1.5 to 2 hour sessions per day. I think that'd be a good day's work.
Right.
But yeah, the most I've ever done in a sitting between 4,000 and 4,500 words, you know, 4,000, 4,500 words. I know you've gone way over that, right?
Yeah, I've got a luxury though, I guess. I had to pick up a part-time job. I mean, I've worked a part-time job for years ago, but I had the opportunity to switch to, for the last couple of years now, I've worked overnight shifts at this quiet little hotel in kind of my tourist town. So I've had a lot of time to just sit alone in a lobby and make sure that the building doesn't catch on fire pretty much. So that led to a lot of free time, which, crappily enough, about the time I started that job, I was making my other job and I kind of quit writing. But I do have a lot of time now, and I'm kind of getting back into things where it's my job to sit behind a desk and, you know, I might get, you know, maybe 2 or 3 or 4 people an hour coming in asking for towels or, you know, the Wi-Fi password or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But aside from that, I have this time where I have to be in one location and I don't have anything else to do. So I get a lot of time that I could devote to writing, and I haven't in the past. And I have actually in March, I accidentally did a nano where I did 50K in the month of March. I just happened to start a novel and I started about the start of the month and the month finished. I was like, man, I did 50K in a month. All right. But that's not something like if I didn't have this part-time job or if I didn't have this where I had to be there, maybe 2,000 or 3,000 words in a day would be my max. But with the job, I think Sunday I hit 8K in one shift at the hotel, which that's probably one of my better days all time.
That's solid, though.
That was, like, when I got into the day, like, when I went into the shift, I'm like, all right, I'm going to finish this book today. I've got, like, one scene left. And I was really, like, I was like, all right, maybe 2 or 3 grand and I'll be done. And then I got into it and that scene, like, I finished that scene and it wasn't done. And so then I wanted to finish it. Like, I had it in my head I was going to finish the book that day. So I went at it pretty hard that day. And yeah, I did get to the end of it, but it wound up being, I think, just a little over 8,000. Which is exhausting.
Yeah, I could see that. I have a question for you. This is we're going off topic here, but we can do that because I who's going to listen anyway, right? So here's my question. So you cranked out 8,000. Like you went into that shift deciding that you were going to finish the book. 8,000 words in a shift, that had to take you the majority of the shift, especially considering what work you would have to do, you know, the interruptions you were mentioning earlier. Do you worry that you rushed the ending because your drive was to get the book done that day, or does it feel complete?
This particular book, I feel okay, but I'm not sure at the same time. Like normally most of my books, everything I've ever written more or less up until now, has had like a final boss or whatever. So like I just had to get through that final boss and it was done. This new book for me was something like totally off, like out of my genre, like something that I'm almost considering publishing under a pseudonym if I do publish it, just because it's not It's not demon hunting.
It's just really quick. How many severed heads in the whole book?
None. And that hurts me.
Wow.
No deaths. Not a single person died in 70,000 words. And for me, that's strong. I mean, I don't normally do that. So, but because of the fact that there wasn't like, it was more like a day in the life of kind of novel. The ending for me doesn't feel as strong because normally I'm like, all right, killed the bad guy. It's done. That's it. It's a wrap.
Sure.
But no, I feel like I probably, if I wouldn't have been done, I would have recognized it and been like, all right, I need to finish this tomorrow.
Okay. Trust the process kind of thing.
Generally.
Trust your instincts. Yeah.
And then when my beta reader comes back and says, hey, it's done.
Hey, and you can redo the ending.
Yeah, then I can add more later. Like, all right, well, someone told me it sucked. I guess I'll fix it.
Well, sorry to take us off the plan, but I had to know.
No, that's what's a plan anyway. I mean, we got 30, 40 minutes to fill, so. So when you find, like, when you want to write, and you know you want to write, but you're just not quite feeling it that day, or, you know, you sit down at the computer and you're just like, bah. Do you have anything, like, do you try to power through and just get started, or what's your process?
It really depends on a few things. I'm a very deadline-oriented person, so if I've promised something to someone, or if I know I have a submission deadline, you know, if I saw a submission call for something that I had a good idea for a story for, I'm excited for the story, I sit down and the spark just isn't there.
Right.
I'll generally power through. My feeling is it's definitely more fun when the muse is there. It's definitely more fun when you're telling a story that you're excited about. So
right.
When you sit down and the excitement's not there, I found that just getting some words down will oftentimes kind of spark that muse. It'll spark that flow. So I'll do that. Sometimes it's just a simple reminder that how I feel doesn't dictate how I think, which is more of a broad philosophical kind of thing. But a lot of times I think humans, it's kind of what we do, you know. We feel a certain way, so we just take that as a dominating force. And sometimes it's just a matter of saying, you know what, I don't feel like writing right now, but I have a story to tell, so I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write it. And it's amazing a lot of times how quickly that'll break things open, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes every single word feels like you're trying to pull blood out of a stone, you know. It ain't there.
And those are rough. I mean, I know that I've had writing sessions where I've gotten down 400 words, and it seems like every single word has just been a struggle.
Yeah, the sessions where every time you feel like you've made good, you know, great progress, you check your word count and realize you wrote 37 words. Oh, man.
I've had those too. The you know, you sit down to write and you write what you feel like's a bunch, and you check and you're like 130 words. You're like, okay, don't, you know, just don't look at it. Just keep going. And you keep going. Then you look at it again. And you're like 250 words. You're like, oh my God, this is never going to end. What am I doing?
And then you hit the flow and you realize that the writing's going really well. And you wanted to write for an hour, and you realize that you glance at the clock and realize that it's 11:10 when you wanted to go to bed at 11, but the flow didn't hit till, you know, 10:58. So then you end up staying up till midnight just to get some words down, and sleepwalk through the day the next day. I'm familiar with this. This is my song and dance right here.
But definitely, I mean, I've noticed there are some writing sessions where every single word is a struggle, and you just have to get what you can. You know, you got in there, you did what you could, and you know, there's tomorrow. But then, you know, the other side, I've had the same sessions where, you know, it starts out and everything sucks and you hate it, and you're just in there because you said you'd do it, and then, you know, a wall breaks, you know, 200 words in, and all of a sudden it just pours out, which is much better. I prefer those.
Definitely.
So I guess that's kind of, you know, one's a little problem. You know, when one particular, when you sit down and things aren't quite right. But, you know, like with both of us, you know, we've both been busy and we've both kind of been trying. I feel like we've both been trying to kind of rekindle our writing. We'll call it a career, for lack of a better word.
Sure.
How have you gone about trying to dive back into the fray, so to speak?
I found a little tool online called 750 words, and you can sign up free for 30 days. I signed up for a $5 a month plan or something like that. After the first month, they want you to pay a little bit, but it gives you metadata about the words that you write. And the whole idea is it just gives you a blank screen that you can type into. There's not really any formatting options or anything fancy like that, which is nice because you know how it is when you're trying to sit down to write and you're looking for any distraction. So it's what font should I? Yeah. So there's not really any formatting that you can play with per se. And the whole point is just write. So I've been trying to grind through days of that. And believe it or not, what all the other writers say about just write every day and it'll come easier, it seems to be holding true. It's been getting easier every night. I'm, you know, two or three nights into a science fiction, originally a comic book script, and I just kind of decided that I wanted to put some ideas down, not in script format, because script format takes me a lot longer to write than just a stamp, you know, prose story.
Really?
So yeah, big time. It breaks up the flow. I'm definitely a flow writer, so having to break things into panels and everything, just it breaks my flow big time. It slows me down. So I've just been sitting down and writing this comic book idea in prose format, and I'm about, you know, 2 days into this specific one. I've written a couple different things in this 750 words, but this is the first one that I've tackled on multiple nights. I'll hit it again tonight. And it's finally starting to flow. You know, I'm just putting a scene down, but it's starting to actually feel like it's got some cohesion, and it's been good. So really, I've just been getting back to it by forcing it out. That's it.
Sure. And the 750 words deal, you've sent me a couple of the charts the other day to look at, but what does it tell you about your writing? Like, I mean, is it just,
let's see. One of the advantages of doing an internet podcast, you can look it up. So view statistics. So what I did yesterday, first thing it does is, and this is more, I think, for fun. I haven't seen anything useful for this, but it actually will tell you how long it took you to get to the 750 words. The total time it took you to get to 750 words. And it breaks down how many words per minute you wrote by minute, gives you a little chart. It's fun to look at.
Right.
It says number of distractions over in the corner. I don't know what the algorithm decides is a distraction. I'm always at zero because I lay down in bed. I have a little netbook that I take to bed and, you know, leave it on the nightstand next to the bed. So what I've been doing is sitting down, or laying down, knocking out my 750, closing the book and going to sleep.
That's one way to do it.
Rating PG, and it'll tell you why. So what I wrote yesterday was rated PG for sexual content and violence. Makes it sound much more exciting than what it was, I think. Feeling, mostly, and it gives you a pie chart. So yesterday, you know, I had upset, anxious, affectionate, self-important, self-expressive. Again, I don't know what their algorithms are, how they categorize this or anything, but then it'll tell you mostly how you're feeling. So yesterday, in fact, both scenes in this story, the primary feeling has been upset, which actually fits what I'm writing. So that's kind of cool. Yesterday, concerned mostly about success, and it tells you a breakdown of, you know, success, death, eating, drinking, money, religion, leisure, home, work. Again, I don't know what it's using to break it down, but it's cool to look at. Mindset while writing. My God, any algorithm that can decipher my mind. I've been working on it for 37 years, so I don't know if I'm going to trust the computer for that, but it gives you that stuff. This one's cool. Time orientation, primary sense, us and them. The two that I like most are the time orientation and primary sense, past, present, future breakdown, how you're using it.
Okay.
I like that because it kind of gives me an overview of the primary tense I'm writing in. And I don't do it as much anymore, but when I first started writing, sometimes I'd accidentally slip tenses, you know, start writing in past, and next thing I know, I'm in present. And sometimes, rarely it works, but for the most part, it's something I try to avoid anymore. So I look at that as an early indicator of, hey, you may need to look at this. The other thing is the primary sense. Yesterday was sight, hearing with almost no touch. The night before was almost all touch, barely any sight, barely any hearing. I like to, that is interesting to me because writing, one of the things we can do as writers is we want to stimulate the reader's senses. We want to put them in the story, right? So
absolutely,
utilizing multiple senses. Or in specific, like what I was writing two nights ago, it was really focused on someone who was floating through space. You know, they had been in a space shuttle, it got destroyed, and they were floating through space with nothing tethering them down. Silent environment. Their eyes were closed. They couldn't see anything. All they could feel was their skin on the inside of the suit. And so when I finished writing it and came to the metadata and saw that the primary sense was touch and sight and hearing were almost non-existent, that's what I wanted. That's I wanted that to be the way the story went. So it kind of served to verify that. And then it also lists some frequently used words, which, I mean, they're frequently used words.
I feel like anyone that has known me or us specifically, I feel like everyone has a guess about what my frequently used word would be, and I'm not even going to say it.
No, but it would be like, I assume the more that you use them, the larger and bolder they get. It's one of those kind of charts. So I could just imagine what your chart would look like.
So just a giant expletive on the screen, I think.
Yeah, surrounded by other minor words leading up to said expletive. Yeah.
Going back just like a step and a half. This has nothing to do with any topic, but floating around in space untethered to anything is terrifying. The movie Gravity, I don't know if you've seen it, but every bit about that movie is pretty much just like, hey, you could screw up and float off into space, and that's terrifying. Like, I mean, what do you do? Like, just sit there until the oxygen runs out? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That's kind of the feeling I wanted to go for in it. So that would be terrifying. The fact that because it would be total helplessness.
Exactly.
And a slow impending doom, and you'd be totally helpless to stop it. And that to me is very terrifying.
And that's one of those very real fears. I mean, it's not like either of us are going to begin launching our asses in space in the next, you know, little bit, but you know, when you watch Godzilla, sure, you know, the chances, you know, trying to put yourself in a situation where a giant radioactive lizard is crushing your city is novel but hard to imagine.
Sure, yep.
Whereas, you know, like, you know, with the advancements or whatever, traveling into space and for whatever reason something's screwing up and you get in jettison, like, that's, to me, that's something that I can see happening.
Yeah.
And makes it all the more terrifying.
Yes. Big time.
Back on topic, I think one of my kids might be about to join us here in a second, but for me, I guess, you know, jumping back into, after a long break, coming back to writing for me specifically has been almost an immersion process. I've been, you know, before everything went to crap for me personally or professionally or whatever, you know, I was doing a ton of things. You know, I was involved with other authors on Twitter, and I was writing and putting in on these projects and doing things. I felt like I was doing a lot. And then once everything kind of hit the fan, I feel like I sort of fell off the radar. So getting back to that and getting back to feeling like a writer, I mean, I started working on a book, and, you know, I hit you up, and I was like, hey, let's do a podcast, you know, let's get this started again, let's, you know, let's work on writing again. And I feel like that's helped me a lot. It's just to kind of get back in the fray and surround myself with it. Because I don't want to call myself a competitive person, but I love, I guess, kind of the group aspect. I like, you know, reading stories from anyone, and it gets me wanting, you know, I read something like, oh man, that's awesome, I want to do that, or, sure, you know, yeah. I want to build on that. You know, we've got this, you know, we have been working on this hotel anthology.
The encouraging aspect of that sense of community.
Right. And so diving back into that, there was a story from, I'm going to call him Wisdom. I know his real name now. But for the longest, yes. For the longest time, I didn't know his name. He's the Mad Monk on Twitter. But he was Wisdom for the longest time, and that's how I still call him in my head.
Same with me.
He had sent us a story for this hotel anthology that we've been working on, and I had never read it. And I feel bad because it sat in my inbox forever. And I finally got around to reading it earlier this week, and it was amazing. It was awesome. And I read it.
It's really good, isn't it?
And even the concept, like, I mean, as soon as I didn't even know what it was about. Like, I really kind of sucked as a person and that I let this sit for so long. You know, the setup is more or less that this guy's wife died in this hotel room, you know, some years before, and he's back on the anniversary of their wedding that she died on, and he's talking to the ghost, and that whole setup, I was like, man. And Wisdom, he's a guy that can really pull that off.
Yeah, definitely.
So
I
just
had no idea going into that story, by the way. I had no idea what it was going to be about, and it had the same effect on me. You know, I hadn't written in a long time, and I came away from reading that fired up for the anthology, and like, we got to make this happen. We've been on break too long. This is too good to just sit somewhere.
Exactly. And, you know, the same thing for me. And it's not even like I want to steal that, or I wish I could do that. Or it's just a total, let's build on this. I love this. I want to get it out, and I want to share it with people. I want everyone to see how awesome this is, because I think it's this awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, and that was part of both of us, I think, getting the kind of the gears turning on that again, and really getting the wheels moving on that anthology, which I'm super excited about. I don't even know if we have a title for it yet. Honestly, we've got maybe 5 stories that have been turned in so far from a bunch of people that, you know, that we've worked with, and they're all really good stories. Not even just his, but so definitely some good stuff and some more interesting stuff out there. Some kind of preliminary, you know, feedback we've gotten on what people are going to turn in.
Yep. You know what? What we're going to do is one of the podcasts we do, I don't know, maybe our 2019 Christmas episode, our Christmas 2015 episode that we put out in 2019. What right. We're going to do is, let's see if we can get some of the, maybe one or two of the authors who are contributing to Hotel, but let's make it an episode about that anthology. Let's talk about what we're trying to do with it. Because now that we're thinking about it, you and I have both been diving back into it, rereading the old stories, talking to people about getting the final submissions in. It's a little different than a standard anthology that you see indie published right now. And I think it'll be worth going over. So I think we should do an episode dedicated to what that anthology is going to be about and kind of throw some teasers out and things like that. I think that'll be fun.
Definitely. We'll mark that on the calendar for 2019.
Sounds good.
So we're starting to get low on time here, and I thought it would be a cool idea to review some writing apps or programs or tools that we've both used, we both have some experience with. There's about a million different things out there for writers to spend money on if they're really looking for it. But I think one of the most popular, one of the ones I see thrown around a lot, is Scrivener, which I have – this might be the first time I've ever said it aloud.
I say it aloud all the time. Before I go to bed, say it aloud 3 times, then let my head hit the pillow.
Does that make you a better writer?
It hasn't yet, but I just like to say it, I guess.
Okay, well, you know, there's fun words. So
like
Scrivener.
O'clock. O'clock is a fun word.
O'clock. So, yeah. Like an Irish clock? I mean, yeah, like an O'clock. I don't know.
I don't know about that. It's just, I don't know. Doesn't it seem like a party word to you?
Just say yeah, yes, I can see that. Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry, my Jameson's gone, and I think I feel it. okay, so Scrivener, for novelists specifically, how do you feel about the program Scrivener?
Let's turn this around. Alex, for novelists specifically, how do you feel about Scrivener? I've never written a novel. You've written like 13. Why are you asking me that question?
Well, okay, fine, for prose-ists. I wrote – I actually added it up the other day, and I have finished 10 novels. Of those 10, I would say the first 6 were with word and making the stories up out of my ass as I went. The next 3 were in Scrivener with a outline that I also pulled out of my ass, but I did it before I started writing.
Nice. Okay.
And then the newest novel that I just finished up was back to that original Microsoft Word, no outline. Mm-hmm. So I think it depends on the type of writer you are. If you're someone who's easily distracted, I think Scrivener is easy to get distracted because there are so many options.
Yeah.
You can import character photos and set up, you know, little folders and tabs and reminders and multiple windows. And so if you're one of these people that you find yourself kind of clicking around a lot and you know, changing the font or doing whatever, I think that it could definitely be a distraction.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
But with that being said, if you're the type of person who plans out everything to the dot, there are so many great tools. You can use, kind of note cards, like digital note cards. And that's what I use for my outlining is I'll make a note card for every single chapter, and I'll put one or two sentences for every chapter that says, hey, this chapter blank's going to happen. You can also set up character pages to where, you know, if you've got a character that looks a certain way or has a certain job or has certain beats or whatever you want to call it, you can note those.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if you have a lot of characters, then that would be good for something like that. So I think if you're someone who really needs all of the data to write a novel, then it's super helpful.
I will say what I found it useful for is I'm to a point in my life where I think I just prefer short stories. I've always joked that one of the reasons I write short stories is that my memory is poor enough that if I write anything longer than 12 to 15,000 words in one story, I start to forget what was going on in the beginning right. And I'm worried about plot holes and everything. One of the nicest things about Scrivener that I have found really helpful as I slowly work through some of my larger projects is, A, I actually have larger projects now because of right. Scrivener. The fact that I can set up a dual window, I can build my chapter outlines, as I'm brainstorming, like if there are things that I want to hit in the story, I can put them in order, and I can just set them in a second window, and it just helps me keep my flow as I'm writing. I can glance over and see where the story needs to go and what I intend to put in. So it really helps me just the minor ability to organize and have essentially they're just virtual note cards at my fingertips, but it's easy to add more. It's easy to change things and they're right there. I don't even have to turn my head. I just glance over. I can see what I need to be working on and then I can go back to the main screen and type it out. That's been really helpful for me in working on things like maybe by 2019, Five Lead Slugs will be done. You know,
that'd be great. Cause I really want to read that.
I've made a lot of progress on, and that's the thing, you know, I could show you my Scrivener file for that. And my outline is pretty huge for it. It's just a matter of writing it and following the outline. And you know, filling in the blanks as I go. But I would have nothing on it if I didn't have Scrivener. If I wasn't using Scrivener, it wouldn't be as far along as it is right now. So it's definitely useful for someone like me on the longer haul projects.
Right. And it's something that I know that you did with Five Lead Slugs, and something that I have been telling myself that I would do with the Burden novels but actually haven't gotten around to doing is your story is broken up into chunks or sections or parts.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got, you know, five of these novels, and I also have a terrible memory. So I know that I'm pretty sure that you have all of your sections in one single file to where you could see the entire story at once if you needed to. Is that right?
Not really, but I have played around a lot with the compile functions. Okay. So what I do, if I wanted to see everything at once, I've got templates set up. So with a click, I could output it to a PDF or even a MOBI file and, you know, ship it to my phone and read it on my Kindle reader. I've done that sometimes to proof, just so I can get an idea of how something reads for flow.
Right.
That's actually one of my favorite things about Scrivener, is the fact that pop in a couple templates and you can output it, your story, in so many different formats with a click.
And that's a really cool function, being able to just to not have to, because we've both formatted self-published things at this point.
Yeah.
And it takes so much of that particular work out of it. You know, is it uniform? Does everything match up? Mm-hmm. But yeah, you could, you know, theoretically you could put, you know, I could put each one of my previous novels in the same file. So if, you know, Burden One, I wrote 4 years ago now, and there's definitely some sections that I don't remember. So if I were, you know, referencing back something from the first novel, instead of having to go back and open a different file and look for it, I could theoretically just have it all loaded into the same Scrivener file and just grab the Burden One tab and scroll back in time to see.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I've got my 170,000 word Sword and Sorcery fantasy book set up that way.
So many words.
Yeah, and so many wasted words. But in case I ever go back and work on that, I've got that set up that way, because that's so large that I need everything in one file so I can scroll back and say, hey, what exactly was going on during this event? And I can quickly see and quickly find it. So, yeah, it's definitely good for that.
Okay, so now throwing the ball back in your court a little bit, what about for scripting? I know you've done much more work. I've done a couple comic scripts, but I feel like you've probably delved a little more into the scripting than I have.
Scripting is odd for me. I have never used Scrivener for scripting. That's not to say that I won't or that I wouldn't in the future. But like I said, I already find writing a script to be more difficult than actually just sitting down and writing a story. So when I script, I tend to sit down with something really, really simple, a Google Drive document, something like that, something that takes no thought, because I already have enough trouble staying focused that any other distraction, you know, trying to figure out how to format things in Scrivener, et cetera, I worry that it would slow me down more or maybe even completely kill a writing session. Having said that, I don't do a ton of scripts. If I were to, you know, be doing a weekly web comic or something like that, I would probably find it worthwhile to invest some time, because I've read some, you know, there are documents on the internet where people talk about how to set Scrivener up for, specifically for writing comic book scripts, movie scripts, things like that. And, you know, it would probably be worth taking a few hours to sit down, get everything formatted, get familiar with the options, and give it a try, because I'm certain that everything else has been pretty easy. You know, once I get used to it, I tend to really like Scrivener. There are just a few things that I don't care for, but most of that has to do with the fact that I'm running the Windows version. And it's not quite as robust as the Mac version.
I actually didn't know that. I'm running Windows myself, but I have only, like, I've only looked at just enough to figure out how to use it without screwing something up.
Yeah.
As far as, like, instead of, like, just diving into all, because there's so many lengthy tutorials on how to get the most out of Scrivener, and I have never found that time.
Yeah, same here.
So for us, for ours, or for mine and yours, you know, together separately, our style of writing, do you think it's something that's worth $40 for maybe someone who's listened so far and they're like, yeah, I feel like, you know, I'm on the same page as these guys. Do you think for your particular writing mental style, do you think it's worth $40?
I have never regretted purchasing it. Now, I got it. I had completed a national novel writing challenge a couple of years ago, and I got a code to save 50% on it. So I got it for $20, I think. Even if I had paid $40, I have never regretted having it. I have found it more useful. I found it useful enough on enough occasion that I'm glad I have it. Like I said, for me, it makes working on longer stuff a lot easier. Sure. You know, I will work on things using Scrivener that I wouldn't have attempted before because of how easy it is to keep things organized. So for me, it's definitely worthwhile. And worth $40? Yeah.
I think so too. Again, and it's something that's lifetime too. Like, it seems like a lot of writing things that you can purchase are monthly.
Yeah.
Whereas I've paid $40 and I've got it forever. So I've spent more on less. Yep. as far as that goes.
And that's what, 8 cups of coffee. So eight Starbucks writing sessions gets you a program designed for writing, tracking, organizing, and compiling your files for publication output. That's worth it.
Definitely. So I guess, you know, kind of winding down toward the end of things, what are you going to be working on from, we'll say, this month? Because we may or may not record another podcast next month.
I was going to say, by this month, you mean November of 2015, right? So right now I'm going to finish up the superhero cosmic space idea I've been working on. I'm going to finish that up. And once that's done, I've got a few other ideas I'm going to dive into. I've got some old stories that I've been meaning to finish up, you know, old stories that are maybe half, three quarter done that I really just need to tackle the ending on. So I'm going to do my best to get those knocked out. Been doing a lot of editing, trying to get some things ready to get into print and just sell out of the trunk kind of thing. So be doing a bit more editing and formatting, getting stuff like that ready to go. So that's kind of where I'm going to be. And I mean, you just finished a novel, right? So what are you doing next? What are you working on this month?
Avoiding editing the novel that I just finished. I dropped that novel off to a couple beta readers, so I'm waiting for them to hear back, or waiting to hear back from them about whether or not it's worth pursuing as far as trying to find a home for it. In the meantime, I've got Burden 5 that I've promised myself that I would finish just for the simple sake of having it finished. I hate having something that complete and not done. Yeah. Maybe some more short fiction just to kind of pass the time and do something that's not quite as heavy as a novel. So a little bit of everything, I think.
Sure. Well, it sounds like if we manage to stay with it, it'll be a full month.
It will definitely be a busy month, and, you know, if all goes well, we might actually be back in the next month with another one of these podcasts, and we can mention whether we actually finished any of these things.
Oh, boy. Yeah, let's plan for 2019.
We're good for that, yeah. All right, well, if you got anything of your drink left, I'm down to ice cubes here.
No, my naked woman is empty.
All right. Well, with that being said, I guess thanks everyone for listening.
Yeah. Thanks for the time, Alex.
Definitely, sir. And we will see you guys next time.